Okay, my friends, we are on day 26, which is entitled The Purpose of Rosh Hashanah. And I began with a question that I get from a lot of students. I just taught a class last night at MJE. If one of the purposes of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi, I always get this question, is to get forgiveness for our sins, and how come there's nothing in the liturgy? If you look at the prayers in the Machzor, the special prayer book we use for Rosh Hashanah, there's almost nothing in there about forgiveness. And you know, it's supposed to be to get our sins cleansed and make resolutions for the future. But what we seem to be speaking about are these three themes, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. And I'll come back to that in a minute. So why does Rosh Hashanah, why do the prayers omit any of these, the theme of forgiveness? And the answer is because you got to start with what you got to start with. Before you can start getting into, God, I did this wrong and that wrong. And we're making a couple of assumptions. First of all, who's God and who are we? And who are we in relation to God? It makes very little sense to start pleading for forgiveness before we understand the nature of our relationship. And that's precisely why the three central themes of Rosh Hashanah prayers are God's kingship, what's called in Hebrew Malchiyot, remembrances, Zichronot, and Shofrot, the trumpet blasts. The longest Shemona Esrei silent devotion of the year is Musaf, the afternoon service on Rosh Hashanah, where these three themes are said both individually and then in the repetition. And then we have the shofar blowing in accordance with each of these three themes. And it's these themes, not atonement, not forgiveness, that make up the silent devotion, the main prayers of the day. So let's run through each three quickly. Malchiyot means kingship, which is paramount at Rosh Hashanah, because in this section, we basically acknowledge that God is king over the universe and we're his loyal subjects. I mean, why else do you ask forgiveness from God? So we first have to start by acknowledging who we are in relation to Hashem. And I've heard this from many of my teachers, that if we really walked around believing that God was running the show, that he was in charge of the universe, we'd probably be a little more careful about the way we speak about other people and the way we behave. So just acknowledging God is running the show, brought us into existence for a certain purpose and meaning, that in and of itself, you know, elevates us. The middle theme is Zichronot, which means remembrances, and that refers to our belief that God remembers everything. And of course, that can be a daunting idea, oh my God, God's not going to forget anything, right? But it also demonstrates, and I said this in my class last night, how much God cares about us. When a parent disciplines a child, what does it teach the child? It shows the child that the parent cares. I remember everything you're doing, right? That can come across very harsh, but much worse would be neglect or just, you know, ignoring the child. That's something that we can't handle. The worst thing in the world is when the Torah talks about Hester Panim, where God turns his face away from the Jewish people. And I remember this, I shared this last night in the class when my brother and I would fight when we were kids. And my mother, just blessed memory, just got so aggravated with us. She's like, all right, you're on your own, do whatever you want. And I remember like, what do you mean do whatever we want? First of all, my brother's bigger than me, so that was dangerous. But like, I want you to be involved in my life. Okay, maybe I annoyed her so much she had enough. But at the end of the day, getting that discipline and getting that plea, you know, go back to your room, do this, do that, that's a way of the parent saying, I care. If I didn't care, like, do whatever you want, who cares? And that's Zichronot, that's the middle section, that God remembers everything we do. And the final theme of Rosh Hashanah is Shofrot, which literally means shofar blasts, but it recalls the shofar when it was sounded at the giving of the Torah at Sinai. And that represents the idea that God's not only a king, but a being that gives us a spiritual path in life. A king could be very aloof and indifferent to his subjects, but the shofar section basically teaches that God wants to be involved in our lives, and therefore he gives us the Torah. And it's a reminder that Hashem didn't just will us into existence and good luck, you're on your own now, kid. No, here's a path, here's a book, follow this. Here are things to do, here are things to stay away from, and that's how you're going to stay on the straight and narrow, and that's how you're going to have the best possible life. We want to start with that before we start asking Hashem, I'm sorry for what I did that was wrong this year, and I'll do better in the next year. That's missing. Like, what's the context for that? The context for that is acknowledging that God is a king, and he brought us into existence for a certain purpose, that king cares about us by remembering what we do and by giving us a Torah that we can follow and have the best possible life. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah, we start a new year, acknowledging the basics. And then, Bezrat Hashem, please God, we get to Yom Kippur. We'll start beating our chests and asking Hashem for forgiveness. But let's first set up the model.